background, because you are the host of Bitcoin.com's podcast. And thus, let me flip it around and really dedicate this show to who the big deal is. And it's you. Thank you for coming on. Yeah, baby.
There you go. That should be that one moment that goes viral right there. I have a passion for cryptocurrency, you know.
Greetings. Used to be named Uncle Odd, but now I'm known as Uncle Vigilante. And as you can see by the fact I'm wearing a gold chain with a Bitcoin on it, I'm kind of a big deal. Yeah, I'm a big deal. But there is one thing that my 43 attorneys that I just hired told me that I needed to say, which is a disclaimer. Don't take any of my advice. Don't take anything that I say on this show or any of my guests as sage counsel. Why? Why? Because I don't know shit.
Wow. People actually watched that? I mean, what was that? Made that? Did you?
If my casual nature with this Snoopy coffee cup and the fact that that opening clip shared that I have 43 attorneys and this gold chain with this gold Bitcoin isn't evidence that I'm kind of a big deal. Well, let me tell everyone out there who's tuning in, this interview get will prove it, because I have with me Dustin Plantholt. He is the Joe Rogan of crypto and the host of Bitcoin.com. So yeah, I'm a big deal. Dustin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. And yes, you are kind of a big deal. So thank you for letting me talk to you.
Yes. Well, now that we got the niceties out of the way, yeah. Thank you seriously for coming on here. I'm just going to get my this up here so I can look you in the eye. Thank you. There we go. This show is all about newbies. And I'm one of these guys that back in the beginning of January, I didn't know the first thing about Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, exchanges, blockchain, nothing like that. And I had somebody who I really didn't even know, and is kind of evidence of, you know, maybe I'm not such a big deal, but somebody I didn't know saying, you know, hey, Todd, you got to buy XRP. I'm like, what's XRP? And it, you know, the rabbit hole began there. And since then, I went to a summit that was for, you know, supposed to be able to help us newbies. And I lived in the chat for 2 days, and I started to realize by the second half of the second day that everybody was still just clear as mud. And I thought, you know what? Everybody went to that summit, which was a great summit, but it was definitely, you know, a collegiate level, and everyone is just still clamoring for the basics. So I decided, why not me? Why not launch a show and really have it dedicated to the newbies and attempt to be able to get guests on who would be willing to kind of rewind back to the beginning and talk to us like where you're, you know, dad, maybe.
What you're saying is, and this is my words, not yours.
Yes.
We're gonna dumb it down for Dustin today, because that to me is when you're looking at this whole digital asset ecosystem, that you have to dumb it down. That's the only way to understand it, because it becomes very technical very quickly.
Yes. Amen. Before we do dumb it down for not Dustin, but Uncle Odd and the rest of us out here, can you please give us a little bit of background? Because you are the host of Bitcoin.com's podcast. And thus, let me flip it around and really dedicate this show to who the big deal is. And it's you. Thank you for coming on. Yeah, baby.
There you go. That should be that one moment that goes viral right there. you know, I have a passion for cryptocurrency. You know, when I got into this world, like you.
Yeah.
I went onto YouTube and I watched a lot of videos and a lot of bad advice bad advice was given to me, and that was go all in and do a lot of really stupid things, become tribalistic. And while today the show, I don't give people financial advice. I talk to companies about what they do. That's the best way to understand these tokens or coins, is digging into them, the leadership. Who are they? I mean, if you're going to make a decision to give your time or to give your wallet even to some of these companies, do you know anything about them? That the only thing you know is that it had a green candle and one day went up 11%, and now all of a sudden it's easy to want to FOMO in. To me, go online, go to the website, read their white paper. And I know it sounds really, really confusing, but the more you look at it, it's like anything in life. The more time you spend on it, it'll become a little easier the next time. And then look these people up on LinkedIn. Who are they? Mm-hmm. Are they who they say they are? And right now in the world of cryptocurrency, because there's a lot of projects in the ecosystem, that if you do not do your own research, if you expect, I don't know, Uncle V to do it for you, you could get burned. And that's unfortunately what's happened in the past to a lot of people.
Yeah, look, it's personal testimony, and I'm not going to name the service, but like shortly after I got in, somebody had mentioned that I should sign up for this service that is going to give me advice on all of the great cryptocurrencies to buy. And I did. My wife, we talked about it, and I ended up investing a good bit of money that I have learned now is just into pretty much a sham. And learn the hard way. It's just, I just dove into the shallow end head first. And that is one thing that I want to accomplish with this show, is try to get people to, like you just said, slow down. You should get in the game, but do it slowly and do it with a little bit of money, not a lot of money. And that FOMO is a real thing. You know, give yourself a couple of months and learn.
So what was told to me later on, and being able to interview a lot of unique people in the space, I get to ask them the questions of, all right, if you were me, or you were a younger version of you, and I know it's easier for you because I am a younger version of you, but if you were me, what would you not do?
Oh, I like that.
And what I was told by most of them was, believe half of what you hear. And so if you believe half of what you hear, then the truth is always what? Somewhere in the middle. And that's kind of the story of your own life, if you really look at it. That
sure.
When you go back and you tell somebody you went fishing, you know, if you're honest, you'll say, I didn't catch anything. But if you're like Uncle V, like, well, I caught a lot of fish. And yet what they don't realize was when he did this, it was 10 little fish, but to him it's...
Yeah.
But the same thing rings true in this cryptocurrency ecosystem and asset class, is it's very easy for marketing teams and marketing professionals and PR professionals and to control the narrative on social Twitter or LinkedIn or some of the other. But to me, it comes down to that many of these projects that get started, they go into with the best intentions, quite frankly. They do truly believe that they're going to change the world, that they're going to change 5 billion lives. But somewhere along the way, they realize that, wow, we didn't realize there's a lot of other interesting people creating the same idea. And so how unique is my idea now compared to theirs? Or they realize they're running out of money, and that's equally a problem.
Oh, right.
So that's where doing your own research is, what was the runway for this company to begin with, for this project? Did they give themselves 2 years, 5 years? And like you, V, because in your other job, you actually get paid.
Right.
Another job, you look at companies' viability. So is it viable beyond the founder? If the founder quits tomorrow, is the business done?
Right.
And many times when people are looking at assets like this, or this asset class, is they aren't doing their research. They fall into the FOMO aspect of
it. True. Yeah, true, true. It's one of those things that people who are getting into it now, I think that 2021 will be a transformational year with this asset class, because I really think for the first time, people are getting scared with all of this fiat printing. And they are realizing that that doesn't come free. There is going to be inflation. Somebody has to pay at some point in time. And if your fiat dollar, if 10 bucks buys that gallon of coffee to our gallon of 10 bucks a gallon of milk, let's say today, and next month it's 20 bucks and we go all Miramar at some point, does this asset class, does Bitcoin preserve wealth potentially against a fiat currency?
Yeah, and that is the question, isn't it? But we have to first look at the FUD, or at least what most people interpret as FUD, or reasons not to come in to the market.
What is FUD?
So that would be the whole fear. You're allowing fear of what other people are talking about.
Yeah.
The acronym itself, top of my head, it's been a long day.
Okay.
But it's allowing that fear to control you, or the trash around it, where it is not even true. It's kind of like, I don't know, imagine a height. You want to go climb Everest. And you say, I'm too afraid. I go, but what are you afraid of?
Mm.
Well, I'm afraid of heights. Okay. So you're afraid of the height itself. In the world of cryptocurrency, or specifically Bitcoin, and by the way, let me teach you something here. Bitcoin is not cryptocurrency. Bitcoin is a digital payment. It's a digital cash, peer-to-peer, whereas cryptography doesn't, there is no cryptography around it. So when we talk about Bitcoin specifically, people around the world, Wall Street Journal, for instance, they put all these great articles about it. And then occasionally they'll pick up stories where there was misappropriation of funds at one of these projects, or an ICO that didn't do things right. I mean, you've been in the market for years.
Sure.
You know this. How many companies out there, including Enron, Madoff, how many bad people or bad decisions? Like, it's happened so many more times than the cryptocurrency space.
Right.
Cryptocurrency ecosystem it's been alive for this long.
Yeah.
So you have this microscope on it, that anything that's ever wrong about it, you have a group of people on the outside going, see, it's all a full of criminals. I go, but the same people that are pointing that and throwing those axes are the same ones diving in themselves.
Right.
Like, they're afraid of their own, they're afraid of the own system that they're a part of. And that is the collapse of something, the collapse of, I don't know, their brand, the collapse of the ability to overcharge people. I mean, talk about fees. You're in the world of buying and selling companies. Look how many middlemen or middlewomen are involved, and you're paying astronomical transactional fees.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And this is what blockchain allows you to do, that this whole technology behind it, these payment ledgers, I mean, it is the internet of value. It is, you're going to be able to get to a place where everything's being tokenized. And that's why you're seeing Wall Street get excited, as they see and they smell the money now, and they realize the amount that's coming with it.
Well, let me ask you this, just to back up. You are the host of Bitcoin.com podcast. So can you just share with us, again, we're just new to this.
Okay.
Can you just kind of give us a 101 on what a blockchain is, what Bitcoin is, and why it's so damned important right now?
So let's talk about Bitcoin, the word Bitcoin. So Bitcoin was created by Satoshi Nakamoto. Now, there are some that say there's only one person that created it. There's a group of people that believe a lot of people created it. But Satoshi Nakamoto created the white paper that is what we know today as peer-to-peer electronic cash, or in this case, Bitcoin. Bitcoin was intended to be, now, some might argue, call it a currency. I think it's the worst currency you can probably come up with. I mean, it's just too volatile. I mean, if I wanted to buy, I don't know, the Uncle V shirt that he has on right now, and I wanted to buy 1 million units of it, the problem is, by the time I were to accept payment, it could have gone down 3%. It could have gone up 6%.
Right.
What it is a good store of value. And to me, when you look at the store of value, well, that's all relative. That someone might argue, as long as this thing that I'm buying never goes to zero, well, I'm good with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or if this thing that other people like it, and name an asset class out there. I mean, you could go into jewelry or cars or...
Yeah.
But what we are now seeing is that others are seeing the endless possibility of Bitcoin of being digital gold.
Mm.
And so that now you're not having to walk. And I interviewed Jim Rogers not too long ago. We were talking about this, and he is Dustin, how can you not see? And I'm like, Jim, how can you not see? Where he pulls out a gold coin, an ounce of gold out of his pocket. And he goes, that's what I carry around. I pulled out my phone. I went, well, that's what I carry. So it's generational. And what we're finding now is millennials and Gen X and Z and whatever other terms are out there, is that they're more likely to say, I like this on my phone, and I like to control it myself.
Mm.
I don't want others controlling me. And I'm not saying you're hiding something, doing something evil, but there is a world when you have no more privacy, when you are truly, thank you for bringing me back. You're always under surveillance, as you are right now, that all of it does impact you in some capacity of your life. And so what Bitcoin allows people to do is take back their privacy, not necessarily to do something evil with it, but to take back their privacy and equally become a store of value that no one economy or government faction can destroy it. Like, it is now standing on its own as a new asset class. So think of it as digital money. That's the right way. And if for those of you like him that grew up on Atari and other video games, you already were talking about and doing this stuff decades ago. You were getting points and you were trading in points for other things. That's exactly what Bitcoin really was meant to be. And it was an exchange of value from peer to peer.
See, but as an uncle who doesn't know shit, I just can't believe that they made up a bunch of an equation or a long alphanumeric character, put it in a cell on a spreadsheet, called it a Bitcoin, said there's only going to be 21 million of them ever. You got to figure out how to go find it and extrapolate it. And that's going to be value.
That's
and it's just value. Like, how do you pull that out of your ass?
And that is the hard part for traditional Wall Streeters to see, but I can't see the value. And I go, well, imagine you buy a stock. I don't know, Uncle VG stock. Just because you have some stock in Uncle VG's company doesn't mean you can just walk in and sit down in his office and go, I'm here. You also don't get to tell the company what to do unless you're a major shareholder.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about Bitcoin, there are developers on the Bitcoin that develop the Bitcoin chain. You then have these things called nodes or trust. It's a trustless system that is basically, it's like sorcery, that is just out there and people could be node operators. You have miners. I mean, the mining aspect is just truly phenomenal. That the mining operations around the world, I mean, within the US and all over the planet, people are starting to mine digital currencies, specifically could be Bitcoin or could be one of the many others that are out there. It is an entire ecosystem. We haven't even talked about DeFi yet.
Right. So
bringing it back down to the people that are coming in this space, that it is very easy to feel afraid. It is very easy to feel confused. And the advisors that you've looked to in the past, most of them have no idea what this is because they've only been so narrowly focused on this.
Yeah.
And that is the difference between innovation and death. That those who innovate, countries that innovate, if you've been to Singapore, the innovation of these countries, that they're always seeing themselves going forward. That's what blockchain allows to do. That some of the initial problems with specifically Bitcoin was that it's slow. I mean, define slow. 45 minutes versus 3 days to send it over the Swift platform. I go, that's not slow. Well, the fees. Well, I mean, if you wanted to send money via, I don't know, somebody at Walmart, it's going to cost you what, 5-10% in fees?
Yeah.
So again, it's all relative. But what then, when we look at these alternate coins or altcoins, people want to know like what alts are. It's just alternate. It's not Bitcoin, not the original.
Okay.
That they were created to solve, there's a purpose. There's utility. Some of them are garbage. That's why you got to do your own research. I don't tell people which coins to buy or which tokens to buy. I don't even consider myself a trader, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I hold because I believe certain things will have more value as we go on. You cannot just keep printing your way out of debt.
No. And I think that's a very important point to make for the newbies that are coming in, because I'm seeing the in the discussions, I'm seeing the everyone, you know, just getting all challenged because they need to figure out how to take their Bitcoin and get it on an exchange that isn't KYI, and they can exchange it for Marinero and get it back over here and get it on an offline.
Don't confuse yourself. And here's again, it is very easy to do. What's the old? I'm gonna let you say it. KISS. What does KISS stand for outside of being a really awesome rock band?
Keep it simple, stupid.
And there you go. If you want to survive in this ecosystem that doesn't sleep, a market that doesn't turn off, doesn't even have circuit breakers. Think about that. Explain to the audience, what is a circuit breaker and what has happened during the last Black Swan event?
I like that. Well, a circuit breaker in my house is once you flip it, your electricity doesn't work anymore. You can't turn the lights on.
So circuit breaker for the stock market, it exists.
Oh, yeah. Hell yes. It exists.
Because if one really super wealthy person gets impacted and others get impacted, and again, you think that the little guy matters in this world. Like people think like, well, my vote matters. When I go, well, it does because it makes you feel good. But it's the people with the most money, the biggest shareholders that make the decisions. So with this whole circuit breaker concept for the traditional stock market is we're letting it kind of calm down. Cooler heads prevail. The bot army's getting reset. The artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
With the crypto market, these exchanges that you see, they don't, the market's always live.
Right.
And that to me, as someone that looks at this space, I get excited because that means it's innovating faster and faster and faster, is that it's going to be the biggest job creation ecosystem on the planet.
You
realize what is coming down, you and I talk offline, but what is coming to this market?
Yeah.
It's going to be the biggest employer before most people even go, why didn't I innovate? Why didn't I go to school for, or why didn't I learn how to program? And that's what this represents. This represents growth and opportunity.
That gets a ding, 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 because Uncle V here has a ding, ding, ding machine, and that was appropriate. This ecosystem is going to be astonishing. And this is going to be like, I mean, think about the dot-com days back when. I was part of an organization, Priceline.com, that I still remember it when, you know, it was just incubated in this area in Stamford, Connecticut, a small office. And then at one point in time, no kidding, Priceline.com was valuated more than all the major airlines combined. And that was the bubble back then. Well, just imagine, if you will, or if you rewind and you collect all of the jobs that have occurred because of this thing called the internet. Yeah. Right. And you look at all of the value that has been created and all the wealth that has been earned. I'm talking earned.
Sure.
Now think about this ecosystem moving forward. Bitcoin just became they crossed the $1 trillion mark, right?
That's right.
The $1 trillion valuation for this ecosystem. And it's just a baby. Talk a little bit about what you see as the need for jobs or employment that could be associated with this entire ecosystem, because it's just a baby. And if there's, I'm telling my daughters, I have four daughters, I'm telling them that they need to start now getting familiar in this space, because the jobs that are going to be created are obscene.
They're already, I mean, I know of right now at least a dozen projects where they're looking to hire at minimum 20 to 30 people. Like, it's nothing. And they'll hire another 20, 30 right after they take those positions down, that they candidly cannot find the right talent as they are growing, because the skill set of most people, and when I say most people, again, different parts around the world, socioeconomic factors play in, different cultural differences, but what they need is something that most people throughout the world do not have. And that is that you have to be high performance. That is, you have to be going to something with commitment being your number one goal. Commit. Mm-hmm. That if your boss sends you an email and a text message at 5:45, you respond.
And you're awake, you're at work.
You got it. And now, again, you and I know each other. You are also high performance. That those are the ones that are going to get these jobs. And what do I mean by these jobs? I mean, we're talking people making $200,000-$500,000 a year, because they're willing to learn everything about the space and educate themselves and become experts in all things from coding to development to marketing. There is a plethora of opportunities. It is going to come down to your skill set and where you go learn how to get better.
And guess what? You can start now. I mean, I'm a big fan of the phrase "start ugly." You can start now. Like, personally, I believe, just because of my commitment to what I'm doing, which is just trying to help myself as a newbie and others who want to come along for the ride and learn from my experience, my interviews, my mistakes,
that's right,
my wins, that I think in a year, I'll probably have a pretty good handle on all this space, you know? And if I would fast forward a year and not have ever started, you know, I wouldn't be who I'm going to be. I'll tell you that. And so I just believe in this enough. And I believe in business cycles to know that whoever really wants to start now and start becoming a subject matter expert in just about anything in this space or this ecosystem, there's going to be an area of employment for you, I believe.
There will be. And it's going to come with a commitment that this won't be a 40-hour week job. It won't. And that is what this ecosystem demands. And that is, the opportunity is there, but you're going to have to work harder than you've ever worked before. You're going to have to work with people around the world that are candidly up all night. I mean, you might work in somebody and you've got them in Hong Kong, another person in Malta, another person in Maldives, all over the planet, because that's what this ecosystem is doing. It's creating opportunities for people around the world. It's creating jobs. It's not taking jobs. It's creating new ones.
It's creating new jobs, and it's creating new jobs that does allow most people, I believe, to not have to commute to go to a workplace.
Sure.
Tell me I'm wrong there. I mean,
you were not wrong. And I'll tell you this, something else that's pretty neat is that many of these projects, they have development grant funds, so that if that idea has been sitting in your head for a decade, collecting dust, that you can apply for grants from many, many of these crypto projects to help you get that idea off the ground. And they
Absolutely.
Want literally nothing in return other than, would you just put our logo next to it? Tell people that we are helping this ecosystem, that if you're a programmer, if you have a business idea, that you can apply for these grants from $5,000 to $300,000, and they don't make it complicated. They don't make it easy. I mean, they make it really easy. They don't make it complicated. Yeah. That if you try to go for a grant today outside, it's tough.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you're open to providing any insight, and no is a fine answer. But I know that through just kind of some offline discussions, you have a passion to help connect people with jobs in this ecosystem. And from my point of view, it is a really, really big deal. And I'm sorry for just, I should have asked permission before we went on, but I do want to just tee it up. And if there is anything that you would like to say, or just giving people some hope.
I'll give you guys and ladies out there some advice. So I am working on something right now that will help to tell you which job opportunities are out there to help guide you and give you the skill set, quite frankly, to be able to enter the
space. That's the important part.
Yeah. And to me, it's, you're only as good as your education going in. I mean, look, I'm not a chef. My wife is a really good chef. That I could not just go in and say, hey, I got this. I'm going to make us a, I'd have to have a cookbook.
Right.
I do know Chef Lydia, amazing, amazing woman that I interviewed her. And I'll tell you, she has cookbooks for a reason. And that is, if you don't have a cookbook, you don't have a plan. And people think of a cookbook being just having, I don't know, food recipes. I go, no, it's your cookbook to life. It's your cookbook on your journey, that if you don't have your cookbook, you won't get that job. You're not going to have that career advancement. You're not going to enter that new industry. I mean, look at my team alone has grown by 8 people over the past year because of this ecosystem that is the whole crypto community. To think about just one small media agency that we're able to work with, companies like Turnio Black Card, who they have a crypto debit card that allows you that if you want to exit the market, and you would have a debit card to walk around with a Visa logo on it anywhere in the world. And so they're solving that spend problem that companies like them are out there that are truly making an impact and changing the system. And it's not hard. I mean, it's not easy. This is really difficult. These people have to work 18 to 20 hours a day, harder, by the way, than most people that go into entrepreneurial type fields, because this is one that never stops. I never stop talking, but it never stops.
So you are inventing, literally inventing the methodology, the path, the system for someone who has a keen interest in this ecosystem to not only just get involved with their own money and invest and try to make a living by investing and trading and all of that dangerous stuff. You're actually talking about, hey, kick the tires. If you think this is an interesting space, we might have a path for you to educate you and put a plan, put a business plan in your life for you to be able to participate in it. Because tell me I'm wrong. I don't think you can just, as a freshman in any college out there, go and major in cryptocurrency. Is that fair?
You cannot. And because of all the fun regulatory stuff, and there are also groups out there, and most people don't know this, they lobby to prevent innovation.
Hmm.
They actually right now are in a group huddling going, okay, how do we help kill this other thing? How do we help stop this other thing? Who do we have to encourage or incentivize to stand ground with us and say, yes, this is bad? That I look at it and go that if you're going to jump into something new, then you got to know what you're jumping into. That without the skill set, then what would it be worth?
Yeah.
I don't like I'm not a trader. I don't profess to be one. To me, I don't have that technical skill set. I don't have the time.
Right.
What I am is someone who buys and holds.
Yeah.
That's it. I take profit along the way. Why? Because if you don't take profit, then you didn't make any money. It's very simple.
Okay.
Like to me, if you, it's perceived value then.
Yeah. No, nobody ever went out of business by taking profit.
They didn't. And somebody asked me, I don't relatively recently that, well, how do you know if it's at the top? I go, you don't. Well, how do you know it's at the bottom? You don't. You've set your own goal, work with your financial advisor, work with your best friend, Google, figure out what your goal is. That if I'm looking to buy something, I scale into it, that I don't go all in. So that if I'm itching, I got to spend this $1,000. It is digging a hole in my pocket. It doesn't. And most people know that that's the impulsive side of us, right?
Sure.
It's absolutely there. I got to use it.
Yeah.
Well, you could buy, again, hear me out conceptually, that what if you were to take 20% of what you were willing to pay, buy 20% of that thing today, tomorrow, same time, buy another, whatever the difference was, 20. So that over the course of 5 days, you what's called DCA, dollar cost averaged in.
Mm-hmm.
Now think about that. And that means that you could have dollar cost averaged in at something that where the rate went down, you're right, or the rate went up. But what you ultimately have is, in my opinion, in my experience, one that is a healthier approach. And that is, think of a 401k, perfect example.
Yeah.
Most people do not put it all in at once. They don't.
Yeah.
This month, next month, that is that same way that if you're going to look at digital assets, you're going to look at this space, Bitcoin, for instance.
Yeah.
That's the first one to go to. That.
Do you know, and I think I've shared this on another show, and this isn't any kind of humble brag. This is just something that I share with my daughters, is I told them all that the second you have a job out of college, I said, just go find an insurance dude, get a whole life insurance policy, and just start putting, like, I did this. I put $63 a month from the age of 21. That's the first thing somebody smart told me to do that. I'm 56 years old right now. That's
value. You don't look a day over 55. So well done.
It's but that is now valued at $200,000. No
wow.
Shit.
Wow. And
the message being is I never missed it. So you talk about your dollar cost averaging, just
right.
Buying and hold. You know, there were a lot of years for that to work.
Yep,
and it's nuts. I mean, I'm delighted by it, but that's what you're talking about.
Absolutely. You know, the old saying, everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. Like people want it right now, but do you know what it's going to cost? If you want to create wealth, true wealth creation, potentially even generational wealth, that it doesn't, I mean, there are those that are lucky, sperm club like you, or but the rest of us who actually have to work for a living, otherwise, you know, have a show like you all day long. that you have to set up a long-term plan. And that is, okay, that I will not be able to go buy that Rolex watch. I won't be able to buy it today. Because if I were to spend $9,000 on that thing, as opposed to putting into something else that could make me more money long-term, then is it a really good investment? Now, you could say, well, if I took that $9,000 watch, I left it alone for 20 years, it could go up to 13 or 20. Go, sure. But that's what investing is. It's deciding the thing that you know, the thing that you will learn everything you can about.
Right.
I think it is crazy that people will invest in something and have no idea what they're investing in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you will buy, who just buys a car and go, I just picked the first one I saw on the lot.
Right.
Usually going with, well, I like blue. I like to, you know, the interior must be like a graphite gray. I'd like the car to be between 230 horse. That you go in knowing in most other decision what you want. But when it comes to this asset class, you have a breed of investor, right? You have the old school, which are, if I only could become a millionaire. I mean, that was the first breed of investor. If I become a millionaire, sure, my life would be, I mean, imagine what I could do.
Yeah.
If I became a billionaire, you and I happen to know those types of people. Yep. If I became a billionaire, now what do they do? And now there's this new group called, if I became a cryptonaire, my life would just change. It would impact. Well, to become a cryptonaire, it's going to take a process to get there because you are not, you were still early in the race. You're like mile marker three. But you still are not like the early, we're just started.
No.
And that's part of the frustration that most people have because they see some of these people had made life-changing, like truly generational wealth.
Yeah.
Off of buying Bitcoin. I mean, I know people that were mining Bitcoin when it was $3.
Exactly. Exactly.
Think about that. Mining 10,000 Bitcoin at that.
Yeah. So, I just heard a story of a guy, gentleman who was sharing that he had, one of his mistakes was not being secure in all of this. And he still remembers when he lost 1400 Bitcoin, somebody came and stole it. Really didn't mean to him much back then, but right now that's worth $77 million.
It's big.
Yeah. Yeah. and it's just mind boggling, but it is, I'm taking a different point of view right now. And especially after speaking to lots of different newbies and frankly, speaking with lots of smart people in this space, is I'm kind of glad I'm only getting into it now because there's a lot of people who've made lots of mistakes along the way. And there are projects that are kid tested, mother approved that you can feel pretty comfortable getting into. Now, the volatility of it is what can drive you insane. I mean, I was feeling pretty darn cocky getting into it second week of January, and my portfolio on Blockfolio just kept going boop, 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 boop. I mean, I got to where, man, I'm looking at it not in day parts. I'm looking at it in minute parts, you know, just seeing, did I make $150 this last minute? And then all of a sudden I woke up a few nights, mornings ago, and what the hell happened? You know, just like, bam. 20% gone.
Yeah. And that is the market. It's volatile. It's always on. And that's the thing that will drive some people truly insane because they're always on duty. Then they feel, think about when it comes to stocks versus crypto.
Yeah.
Most people will not look at their stock statement, but once a quarter. And even then it's like,
right.
I got to go meet with someone that we're going to pay $250 to sit down, to go over the performance, to tell us we're going to change this, we're going to tweak that.
And I'm exactly.
Oh, this is so annoying.
Yes.
But when it buys crypto, it's like, oh my God, it's up 3%. It's down 27%. It's okay. Well, you don't spend that kind of it, which tells me how much have you put in?
Yeah.
And that if you watch YouTube videos, that you have YouTube videos type people. So these personalities that are promising you by the end of the week, that coin, the Uncle V coin is going to be $1.13. You're going to get that. Well, it's at 1/10 of a penny right now. If I put $5,000 into that, I'd be worth $932,000. It's a hell of a deal. Why would I not do that?
Great deal.
It's because some anonymous YouTuber gave you you don't even know anything about this person, just told you, go buy this thing. And that's the part of it is easy when you get in to have, I can make life-changing money. I go, really? Where?
Yeah. Right.
Well, this, I go, but how do you expect to do that? Well, I'm going to watch the chart each day. I go, and then what? When I see a coin, and I'm telling you, this is, I remember when it happens, the coin went up 9%. If I don't buy now, I go, right. If you don't buy now, could you imagine what will happen? If you don't buy now, it could go down 4%. If you don't buy now, it could go up 18%. You do not buy into candles, my own opinion.
Yes.
My own opinion.
Yeah.
I do not buy into green candles. That's my own opinion.
Yeah.
Like to me, because then there's too much risk.
I agree.
The risk aspect is, and again, I get it, but you are not advanced enough. You must have a supercomputer. You truly must be a new level, a new degree of investor where they are doing, I mean, we're talking auto. It's being done for them.
Right.
And the stock market has those same individuals as well. High-speed trading.
You bet.
Don't touch it because what will happen is if you buy into it as quickly as it went up 20%, it can go down 20%.
Yeah. When mine did, I woke up that morning and the spirit moved me. And I went ahead and gave my mic to Uncle Sven Jelani. Tay. I think you
don't even know your name yet. Do you get it right when you say it?
Well, it's hard to say Sven and Jelante.
It's too hard. It's just call Sven. Hard.
Like, but anyway, I did a little mockery video of these chart people that are like, they always predict it after the fact, you know, and they go back their charts are just all over the place. So I had my brother Sven put on some sunglasses and get all jacked up on coffee and tell everybody and get them excited I fell for that. There's a personality on YouTube that I started following that exactly what you said.
I have a few of them to this day that I know. I don't follow them anymore. And actually there are people that I like in the space, influencers.
Yeah.
I don't follow them anymore. Like I'm not a conspiracy guy. People got into that without naming, letters of the alphabet. I'm not a conspiracy person.
Yeah.
I don't believe. Yeah. Maybe that's the wrong thing to do. Like, cause the truth is in the middle sometimes.
Right.
I don't go down those rabbit holes. I want to make sure that good information that I'm processing it independent of what other people. And I come to my own conclusion that if it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true.
Yeah.
And if a YouTuber says buy now and your life's going to change, don't buy now. Actually sleep on it, wait a couple of days. And that false prophet typically gets found out.
Well, what I have found, and I got sucked into big time and even a second time, is I feel, because I don't know shit, that information is king. And there are those who are way smarter than me who've been at this a long time, who have services, newsletters, et cetera, who are really good at getting you to pay, or getting me to pay a lot of money for it. And then they don't deliver on the goods.
You're telling me they overpromise, but I will tell you that is not unique to the crypto ecosystem. That happens.
That's true.
I mean, look, I recently bought some comic books, by the way, working on a comic project, and I was going through this comic. Where is it? I was going through I don't know if anybody out there likes Battlestar Galactica. And one of the advertisements.
You like it? I love it, man. I've been into it forever. There's a coin.
Yeah. So going through the advertisement section and the things that they're advertising for people to make money on and do, and this was all the way back in the, I don't know, whatever the year that was, early something, where there are all sorts of scams, and the scams are always the one that are too good to be true. And you may say, but how can smart people get scammed? I go, because they look at the scammer and go, no, I'm telling you, that's a good person. Because that person's usually slick talker. They're good at it. They're great at manipulating, and they're good at telling people what they want to hear. That is the challenge. If you're going to invest your money anywhere in life, you're going to give it to anybody to that trust will be the hardest thing that you're going to have to work on, is because you're going to take a look at some of these projects in the market, the people that I trust. And I'll tell you who I trust, who I like. It doesn't mean I own these coins, by the way. The only one I'll tell you I own, I'm a Bitcoin guy.
Okay.
I do believe that in your, again, this is my own opinion,
not
a financial advisor, but to me, you should have at minimum 50 to 80% of your holdings in Bitcoin. It rules the market.
Yeah.
That when someone's entering the market for the first time, and the good thing about Bitcoin is it's not a security, when they're entering Bitcoin for the first time, that is what they're buying, the ecosystem. They're going, all right, let me go Bitcoin first. But then they look at the price of Bitcoin and they get fooled into thinking,
right,
I got to pay $49,000 for that. You could buy a little bit of it. What do you mean? Oh, you could buy $5 worth. You could buy 10. And there are companies out there, by the way, which allow you to do that, where you could have a little bit taken out of your paycheck, a little bit taken out of your, it could be off of your, out of your checking or savings account to go to buy a small amount that it dips you into it.
Well, so let me give you some coins then, and let's play a game of crypto Tinder.
Dun, dun,
swipe,
dun.
Swipe right or swipe left. So Bitcoin is a swipe right.
By the way, I'm a little like, I don't know if that way. Okay. So I have to point to my right to go left on my screen.
Oh, you don't worry about our point of view. You just be comfortable with you.
How about this? I'm going to give you the eyebrow. Like,
okay.
There you go. I'll let you decide what it
means. Okay. So how about just say left or right? All right. Ether.
Ether is a phenomenal project with the ability for staking alone.
What is staking?
Staking will allow you to basically take your crypto, think of it like a CD, best way to explain it.
Okay.
Is that you can take your crypto, take it off the market for a while, meaning no one else can sell it and you can't sell it for a period unless you take it back out. And you would be guaranteed a return that would be paid out in Ether. So that you're in essence, think of it like a little bank, that you're putting money into a pool. It's getting staked with others, which creates less liquidity opportunity for the market to be able to, like there's less available, which means that if there's more buyers than there are sellers, well, then the price goes up on something. And it also goes in there to support the ecosystem. And ultimately, long-term, you get a pretty good return and payable in Ether, which then pay taxes based upon-
Are you benefiting with the market though?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So if it goes from
a guarantee, that's what I love about staking is that it gives you a guarantee of a return. Now, not all staking pools are the same. There's more reputable ones than others. You have to do your own research, but staking itself gives you a guaranteed return. So now you're a family office. You're going, all right, we've got play money, $5 million. What can we have? What sort of return on $5 million could we throw at this thing? Well, with staking, some of these projects, I mean, it could be a stable coin where you're getting 7%.
Right.
9%.
Got it.
Well, those are more crypto type banks. The staking side of it though, but if you stake your crypto and you don't take a loan against it or borrow against it, but you're getting 10, 15, 20% of some of these projects, even more. So now you're
of going, the project, well, but the actual coin that you put
of
in.
Of the token of what you're putting into the coin you're putting in. So you're never going to own the project, but you're
right.
Rewarded to, in essence, stake what you have, which takes it off of the market. And okay. It also means that you're invested in the market as well. You want it to do well.
Okay, excellent. Crypto Tender, Tether.
So the recent news about Tether came out about some misappropriation of funds. They paid a fine. It doesn't look like, according to what I read, they're going to be allowed to operate in New York City or in New York. I would tell people the same thing I said to you earlier. Now, you've been in the world of stocks and bonds longer than me. But in the world of the stock market, there have been many, 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 many companies, including banks you probably use, mm-hmm. that get fined, if not on a yearly basis for such things, every other year. But what happens is the press only goes in. See, I go, you're telling, and I can't remember the number, 20 million, 30 million, some okay. number that they, but I go, you realize that's not in the billions, right?
That's a pebble in the shoe, yeah.
That's so small that you go, that's it?
Yeah.
That's the only,
and that's almost some might say, yeah, that's kind of that's almost criminal that it works that way. You know, that
again, I'm not here to say, cause I don't know the facts of the case, but I look at it and go that you're talking about a project that is helping to support jobs around the world and let people move money at the speed of light, really.
Absolutely.
With no fees. And you're right. When they started the company, it was a little bit of the Wild West. The crypto wasn't regulated, didn't have the same. And were there things that were done? Well, according to you, there were. But it shows you the fact they didn't fine them $1 billion.
Right.
They're like,
they didn't put them out of business.
That's it. Even they said, we see the good. And that's what I encourage people.
Well, then,
see the good, not the bad.
Then my big question in Crypto Tender, because this is what I got into at the beginning, and it's my largest stake. What do you think about XRP?
So I am very, very bullish and very long on XRP. I believe long-term, if there will be a coin that survives long-term, the ecosystem that has been built around XRP, independent of Ripple, Ripple does not own them. Ripple's a software company. They've got a ledger system. XRP runs alongside of it. But the ecosystem around XRP is enormous. It's growing by the day.
It's crazy.
It solves problems. And when we talk about problems, like I get so frustrated when I see that these bankers who run these major, major corporations, that they can still get paychecks that are $50, $100 million. I go, but well, yet you turn around, your other divisions charge interest rates of 12%.
Right.
Now, again, I am not a socialist. I am not I'm semi-libertarian, but I have a Republican and Democrat in me as well. This space is showing what the cost should be. It is making it transparent to make someone go, I didn't know. I mean, there's companies out there that their blockchains are for cloud technology. It's to move things at the speed of light so that your health records are available at the moment it happens. You can say, wow, look, it's right there.
Right.
And that in the world of EMR, like electronic medical records, it's only so as good as the other systems can connect. Blockchain allows this thing to operate and continue all the time. It's always on from non-fungible tokens where you can sell art on a blockchain.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that's so anybody new, it would be worth your time to really take a deep dive and go into YouTube and search for blockchain 101. Just try to understand it. I will tell you, I'm working on a couple of different projects personally for this channel, which is taking a deep dive into what is Bitcoin and taking a deep dive into what is Monero. Those are the first two that I'm working on. And as I'm doing it, I'm researching all of these 101s. And then I am the ones that I think are really good. I am saving those, transcribing those, assimilating those. And then I'm going to go through and I'm going to try to make sense of it for me so that then I can articulate it. Once I have it to where I have fine-tuned it down to a level that I'll understand it, then I'm going to do a video on it and actually just walk through. I have a teleprompter. I'm just going to read what I've written, but I'm going to do it thinking about me in January. And that's my commitment here. And what I found just from doing this little bit of research over the last 2 days only is as I'm reading this stuff, it's all starting to come together for me, you know? And so it's testimony to the fact that you don't just go you just don't be told how to ride a bike and go out and ride a bike. You have to actually get on the damn thing.
You got it.
Pedal. And and that's what's exciting about this.
I love this space. The Bitcoin.com show, which is one of the shows that either I host or produce, but hosting the Bitcoin.com show is, I just talk to these companies. I want to know what they do.
Yeah.
I want to be able to ask them the questions that other people either can't ask because they don't have access or they didn't think of. And some of the questions I'll ask them will be pretty simple. If you made a claim of being able to help 5 billion people, talk me through that.
Mm, right.
In your white paper, you listed that by Q2, this would happen. Walk me through that.
Nice.
That those are the questions that, and I would encourage you, if you don't tune into it, tune into podcast.bitcoin.com. I like to make things easy for people to understand. Most recently, Gene Simmons came on the show.
That was a great interview.
There's a lot of amazing people that have come on. It is a judgment-free show where I get people to talk about all things from DeFi to privacy, to exchanges. I mean, one might argue privacy is an errant to being human. Like, you have the right to privacy. Now, you don't have the right to break laws. If you live in a country where there are rules that you don't like, move to another country. Like, and then they're going to have their own rules to deal with as well. But that's what I love about this space is it's full of problem solvers.
Yeah.
Any ecosystem will have bad actors. I'm like, there was something I saw in the news, not to name the company, most recently got hit by a big fine for doing something.
Mm-hmm.
I go, and they're a major bank, for God's sake. They were manipulating metals. Like, how dare they do that to the average? No, this is true. How dare you do that to the average human being around the world that thinks, I'll just buy a little silver, a little gold. And then you have these market manipulators.
Yeah.
Someone could right now, candidly, go on and sell $1 billion with a Bitcoin. And you know what will happen? Next to nothing in the market. That it doesn't have the same impact it once did. That no one whale can crash it.
No kidding.
No one whale can take it down. You could sell 1,000 right now or 10,000. Yeah, you'll see this initial, but it's going to get bought right back up because confidence around the world has eroded. People are afraid and they know this printing of money.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable because what it's going to do is infect every other sector out there. Commercial real estate, you've never seen an explosion.
Ugh.
You have no idea what's going to happen because all of their consultants that they've paid a bajillion dollars to, they're telling their lights on the other side, the green pastures are coming. And when people don't go back to the office, you want to know about office space problems?
Yeah. You want to know my prediction?
Go for it.
My prediction is they're going to convert all that commercial office space to 300 square foot life pods for people so that these, and I'm going to say kids, but you know, the youth are going to be really jazzed about just being a block and a half away from Times Square. Sure, they only have 300 square feet of living space and they have shared spaces elsewhere in that building. But they'll be cool with that. They'll be cool paying $2,000 a month for that.
Yep.
And be so happy and delighted. I think that's the only way they fill Manhattan back up.
That is going to be the only way. And by the way, not just Manhattan, around the world.
Yes.
So what we're going to see is these banks that have made them these really big loans. And we're talking mind-blowing amounts of money that the banks who did the loans, there's other banks that loan them the money. And then those banks that loan them the money, well, they go back to the central banks. And now the central banks are going, we got a problem too, because we're overstretched over here. And so, and that's where, when we turn on the printing machines, it's typically to go give the people, to give the people, to give the people more money. And that's why Bitcoin was created. It was to say that this will be a new digital cash system, a new asset that the average man or the average woman can have. They can hold it. You can literally hold it in a device in your hand and say, it's mine. You can't have it.
I never thought of it that way.
I can go anywhere with it and you can't, I can memorize my keys.
Yeah.
And then unless you know what's in my head, and that's what I love about this thing called Bitcoin, is that it creates a new future. It creates a future by which is one that is sustainable, because the current model, the current trajectory doesn't end well. And you don't have to be have your master's from Harvard. You don't have to go to Uncle V's school of that. You can see it around the world that your neighbors and your friends and the businesses, they're struggling. And those who are going to win, they were already chosen. Look at the biggest corporations in the world. Did they get smaller? Look at the wealthiest people on the planet. Did they get poorer during this pandemic? No. Dan Pena said it best. At the end of this pandemic, so I did a documentary coming out on Dan Pena. At the end of this pandemic, someone is going to get wealthy. Actually, a lot of people are going to get wealthy. Why not you? Mm. And that's what this asset class represents. It is this idea by which if you're willing to go through the class, if you're willing to do and put in the hours and learn and grow, then there is an ecosystem that will help you with your idea.
Yes.
They will help you start, because in terms of wealth, that wealth creation happens when you start a business.
Mm-hmm.
Wealth is defined as not just by money. It's in your head.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And having your peace. I have interviewed 8 billionaires on my Life's Tough, You Could Be Tougher network. I've interviewed the wealthiest people in the world. And I'll tell you this, and I've learned this, Uncle B, is that the thing that people desire most, the thing that they want most, the thing that even money can't buy, and that's your peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, that if your goal in life is to work for somebody else forever, and you're doing it because you're too afraid, because you don't have the skill set, that's something that we're working on to help fix that, to say, I can coach you. We can get the fear away of the unknown, that I don't really know much about the stock market. I don't. I'm not a financial advisor. I don't even pretend to be one, but I can understand this. I can understand this, that there is these companies out there, these projects that are developing utility from carbon coins to allowing people to tokenize stocks, that you could be somewhere in the world and want to buy Tesla and you want to sell it quickly into Bitcoin, or you want to sell it into a stable coin, which is pegged to the US dollar, that you can get out in the light of a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. Church Global does that. Mm-hmm. You can buy Facebook stock. Great. You can do that directly to crypto. So it allows you this entry and exit. And in a world that is so unstable, that is also the things that it gives you, is it gives you stability. You can liquidate whenever you want.
Right.
You can get out.
That's a big idea, everyone.
You don't have to wait for the weekends. Oh God, weekend's over. Yeah. You have to wait for your bank to reopen at night or close. Or you don't have that.
Didn't the Federal Reserve lose an hour this week for the first time
ever?
They
did, but that's no big deal. You're talking about a system so antiquated that it can still go down. You can't put down blockchain.
That's exactly right.
You can't stop it at this point. And there's so many different chains to begin with. And I talked to a company the other day that their chain does 100,000 transactions per second.
Jesus.
You think Visa's fast? This knocks it out of the ballpark.
Unbelievable.
That is what this space represents. It pushes the others to go, we have to get better.
Right.
We have to make our rates cheaper. We have to. Because interest rates, going back to staking, there are crypto banks, as I'll call them. You have companies like Nexo and BlockFi.com. I mean, BlockFi, BlockFi, if you can pull it up on your screen. But BlockFi will allow you to loan out your holdings and you get a return on it. So if you're up 10% or 50% and you've got a sizable amount of crypto holdings, you can take a loan against it. that you don't have to sell and exit the market. Take a loan and go pay off debt, do something else, or just collect interest on it. So you can take loans, you can lend. So BlockFi.com, a really cool company. I'm not a paid spokesperson for them, but they really are the future of finance.
Okay, well, now, sorry, I was kind of, as you were talking, I was searching. So just walk us through this. What does this do?
So BlockFi, well, think of it like a crypto bank.
Okay.
That right now your money in your account is, I don't know, well, let's say your Coinbase wallet. What's it getting you? 0.0.0.
Absolutely.
If you wanted to take some of your holdings, well, you could bring it to BlockFi.com and you could, in essence, put money in and they will say, okay, like your own bank does too. If you give us, let us hold onto your money, then we will give you a return. That's what they do as well. So if you want to like scroll down on the site, show a little bit more. I'm sure. Not a paid spokesperson for them. Just telling everybody right now. And so let's type that in. So under, was that GUSD? Let's click on something else. Go to Ether. Let's do Ether. Okay, so Ethereum. So put in there, let's find a good number for Ethereum. Let's put in there 5 Ethereum. So what is 5 Ethereum right now? The equivalent to, 1,700 times 5, whatever that math is. So interest per year. Now you may say it's not a big deal, but you've got 3.3%.
So that's keeping it in there. You're agreeing to keep it in 10 years. Oh, I see what this is.
Just play with it.
If you keep it in for a year, if you want to just put yours in,
yep,
then you're going to get $400 on those 5 in a year.
Correct. Now let's do 1 Bitcoin, because some people do have a sizable amount of Bitcoin holdings. Now 1 Bitcoin, I think the last time I looked at the chart earlier was 49,000. But 1 Bitcoin would get you, and do it out 2 years, because I don't ever like looking at something as over a year. So over 2 year. So each year you're guaranteed that no matter what the price of Bitcoin does, you're guaranteed interest on it.
Okay.
Not a return,
okay.
But you're guaranteed interest.
This drives me freaking crazy then. I'm going to stop sharing the screen, because right now I'm going to go Todd 1.0 here, because I've been so pissed off this week. So I started thinking about this asset class, and I just started thinking, wait a minute. I remember 5 years ago, I sent $52,000 to this self-directed IRA, and where they bought physical gold. So it would be mine. So they were my coins. So I chose the coins. I chose everything. This was back when I was, listening nonstop to Alex Jones saying, world's going to hell. It's going to hell. Buy gold, buy silver.
Yeah.
And so I sent it there, and I was wondering, I don't ever see my statements. So I went to my files, and I pulled it out, and I'm like, why haven't I received any statements? I called them, and they're like, well, sorry, we had the wrong email address and we had the wrong. Anyway, long story tolerable. My stash in there was worth 88 grand, the coins, because silver and gold's been good. And then I heard that they provided self-directed IRAs with cryptocurrency. And I'm like, yes, fucking A, man. I am so excited. I'm like, sign me up, man. I want to get into Bitcoin right now. I'll just screw it. I'll just all in Bitcoin. I'll forget about it. Well, they sent me their financial disclosure, their fee schedule. Here it is. To get into that, first of all, it's just a $500 setup fee. Yeah, that's fine. No problem. Second of all, it's 3.5% of whatever currency they buy to put in there. So that's 3.5% of the Bitcoin. Yeah. Okay. I know everyone needs to make a little money. It's 1% on the way out. Okay. I'm thinking that this crypto is going to go like this, but get this. They charged a storage fee, a monthly storage fee of 0.07% of your holdings. Hmm. So based upon what I did the math, 84 grand net, that would be like $600 a month.
Yeah. So their fear is being a custodian in the world of potentially getting infiltrated and getting hacked, that they'd be responsible for. So those custodian fees, there are major players out there that do that and provide that service. It is, you can be your own, you can store your own crypto. Ledger is a company out there that is just one of the many. Engrave is another cool company out there. Never
are these that can deal with an IRA?
No. So these are where you can store. When it comes to IRAs, I know there used to be a player in the market, a big one. I can't remember the name off the top of my head. Nexo is another really cool player. While they're not IRAs, they allow you to, they think you may even pay higher interest rates. So nexo.io is another really cool site. So I know the team over there. I know they're legit. And they do what they say they're going to do. US-based company. Where same thing, you can take a loan against your holdings, or you can put it into the pool and you end up getting a higher return. So the IRA side, if you do find someone that does that, look at the fees. And if the fees don't make sense, then I go, then don't do it.
Yeah. Oh, no way. But what ticked me off was thinking about there could be some young kid saying, hey, grandpa, you have an IRA self-directed. You should just tell them to put it in Bitcoin. And then they wouldn't have read the statement like I did. Finally, I did something smart, you know, and thank goodness I did. But to me, that's usurious. I mean, it's just, so I think the company that can take, the company out there who can figure out how to get people like me to roll over their IRAs into a self-directed one to where you don't hose them on that monthly custodial fee, that storage fee, is going to kill it once you get the trust out there.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And by the way, there is another coin I would highly recommend taking a look at if you were interested. So Nexo, awesome company.
Okay.
Interest rates, 12% paid out daily. You can borrow instantly as well. It's again, this is an entire ecosystem in itself of amazing opportunities.
Amazing. This has to piss the banks off.
It does, because they can't compete because they're brick and mortar. They can't compete.
Right.
And he said, well, the regulation, I go, no, Nexo's under the same anti-money laundering rules. Know your customer. Like, that's just not, they're under the same rules and regulations. It's just banks have become so heavy in their top line expenses. That, I mean, if you're paying a director, you know, $7 million, you're paying a CEO, those are all expenses. Wow. All of your locations, well, they cost money, all of the people. This is all done virtually. And you never lose control. Like, and that's what's really unique about this, is that you can decide what you want to do. And if you want to take your hard-earned dollars, and if you're deciding to use your own money, this is not financial advice, but if you decide to buy Bitcoin or cryptocurrency, then I'd say explore companies like this, Nexo. The other one being BlockFi.
Yeah.
Again, very, very great, great companies. Very reputable, do exactly what they say. Now, that being said, could something happen in the future? I'm like, sure, like, I don't know. Sony got hacked. Like, Target got hacked where they had that slipper. Remember how somebody stole, like, the government got it. The top people in the world can't keep bad people out. So
Just
remember that.
Right. No, that's excellent. Tell us about Life's Tougher.
Life's Tougher, isn't it? Lifestuff.com. Lifestuff Media. We're a podcast network. We also have a web commercial division. We create web commercials, film division as well. We are certified by Amazon for voiceover work and audiobooks. So when you ever decide to write How I Lost All My Money, I will gladly do your voice. With 17 divorces. Like, how do you do that?
I don't know, but this Bitcoin, good
you
thing
that, lot of that
it's digital because it's been cut in half 17 times.
That's like the last. Well, look, this has been fun. I hope everybody enjoyed themselves. It's education. It's digging in that if you took the same amount of time that you watch on TV studying these companies, VeChain, go on their website. Great project for logistics. Cool company. Stellar. Excellent company. They don't have a walled, their system's not a walled garden, so they can work with other coins and tokens. And these companies are changing the world.
Yeah.
Literally, if you only even knew the kind of things that they're doing. And by the way, those partnerships are announced all the time.
Yes.
But you have to go follow these companies.
I'll never forget when I first started back with my current company, as you know. When I first started, we had a CTO who told me way back in goodness, I think it was maybe 80. Shit, I don't know. It's a long time ago. it's when you'd never heard of the name Apple. And he suggested, he said that Apple's a big deal. You should invest. They're going to be a big deal. And, you know, it was in one ear, out the other and stuff. And I think about that now. And I think about that then in comparison to where we are in 2021. There could be a day to where we have the conversation that I remember I was watching this podcast of this Uncle V dude and this other guy who's like the Joe Rogan of cryptocurrency and they were talking about this company BlockFi, and I'm like, yeah, okay, in one ear, out the other. And then fast forward 10 years and BlockFi, you know, has 7 monuments all around the country. I don't know. Yeah.
And by the way, that is just the beginning. So Wyoming are giving away banking licenses. You have never seen what is like, what is coming is going to blow people away.
That's where
you're literally giving
commercial real estate in Wyoming.
they're buying banking again, or not buying. They're giving away, based upon rules and regulations, banking licenses. Like Kraken has one of them. There's many other companies that have filed. You're talking about at that point, what do you think the Bank of America's and the others, they're going to have to do the same thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
They're going to give you the opportunity to have FDIC insured, which candidly would only bring back hundreds of billions of, it's good for everybody.
Right.
To bring that money back into the system. Like, yeah. I mean, you would still have it in your crypto holding, but imagine this. You log into your account. I don't know. Who's a major bank these days? Bank of America, keep them. But you log into your Bank of America account and it shows your crypto holdings next to your savings account. It allows you to trigger back and forth. All right.
Amazing.
$6 exchange into Bitcoin. Done. Click, click. That's all being built out by companies in the space. So I don't know if Bank of America is doing it. I imagine they probably have a team of people looking at it as we speak. But Fidelity, all of them, this is where they're headed. That's too big of an opportunity to pass. Who the heck would pass down on a baby asset class that's just beginning?
Exactly. It is a baby asset
class. It's a baby asset class. This is tiny. Tiny.
Yeah, I think
now that cash is dirty, no one wants to touch money anymore. It now further tells people why digital, go digital. The half the battle was there to begin with. I like cat. Well, now you don't need it anymore.
Yeah. Well, I think there for those of us who are older, think a lot about
for yourself. There.
Yeah. think about, yeah, us meaning us over 50, but some of us who are older and just kind of more set in our ways, when you think about Bitcoin, you tend to remember all of the stories that this is just the currency that is buying stuff on the evil parts of the web. And that's what this is really all about.
And that's garbage. I mean,
I know it's garbage.
That's garbage. I mean, you could buy, I remember when eBay allowed you to buy, I never forget, you could buy those cable to scrambler kits. Like a cable to scrambler box. That, you realize you were able to buy things that weren't very good, that were breaking, skirting law. Like all of that has been done for, I don't know, decades.
Yes.
That there will always be people that take advantage of it.
Oh, yeah.
That's in any sort of market.
Yeah.
But with the good thing about blockchain, you can't hide.
Right.
But it is the worst case for criminals to go. You can't hide.
Private.
Well, there's privacy coins, Zcash, Monero, and a few of the others. But even privacy only goes so far. I mean, what do you... If you're looking to hide something, I'm the wrong person.
No, but I thought that at the beginning you were saying that Bitcoin is private.
Well, nobody knows your transaction ID. So the if I wanted to send you $100,000 to buy your house, that I could send it to you from my wallet to your wallet and no one knows.
Okay.
Private. Like to me, hackers, like when we talk about privacy, I go, you realize there's bad people out there right now around the world that while you and I were claiming they're bad, they're saying, I just trying to pay my bills or take care of
right.
Me.
Right.
Like I know it's interrupting your life. I know it's not the best thing that I'm doing. But if you only knew where I lived, if you only knew what's going on in my life, I'm not trying right. to that those people every day are trying to infiltrate the best architectural systems on the planet that have 500 IT people keeping people out.
Yeah.
That they're trying to get through. when it comes to your own keys, you own it.
Right.
People that have lost money in crypto, they lost their keys.
Right.
What I mean by lost their keys is they left it on an exchange, not your keys, not your ownership.
Right.
When you keep it on your own private wallet, so a cold wallet or hard wallet, it's yours. And as long as you keep your keys safe and away from prying eyes, they go, it's yours.
Right. Right.
I mean, think about what that gives you. If you wanted to give something to your heirs, buy some and leave it alone and forget about it. Put it on a drive and leave it there for 10, 15, 20 years. Just leave it.
No kidding.
You come back, it's nothing. You come back, it's worth a lot more. And that when it comes to assets, that assets will create an ecosystem around it.
Yes.
The people that used to trade, you know, before you and I are live, gold and silver, little pebbles, right? Little rocks, minerals. And now look at the ecosystem. They created jewelry out of it.
Right.
But think about that, that they said it wasn't just a mineral to hand you. It was now metal. Now it has turned into something. And that is what Bitcoin represented. It was the birth of a nation. Right. It was the birth of what Model T did for the car industry. That people that beat on Bitcoin and say, how can you be a maxi? But without it, you wouldn't have had this revolution. Without it, you wouldn't have had the others to be the idea thieves.
Mm.
And that is what's happened, is that Bitcoin itself is flawed. It has its warts, but it's perfect because it represents an idea and a concept. And it's that spurs the growth. That it is that allowed people to fork it. I mean, the fact that you could create a coin off of it, they created Bitcoin Cash and some of the others. Like, to me, how amazing is that this technology is open for others and it is ready and it is waiting for all of you out there to learn more about it, to not be afraid of it, to respect it. Do not go become a trader. That is my personal advice. You will lose all your money. I know some of the best traders in the world where they're excited when they get four out of every 10, right?
Oh yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
And they're only taking 2% risks, by the way.
Okay.
Very small amounts of money that are big amounts of money to them. But when I hear people go, I put whatever I wanted to put in, I put 80% into this one coin. I go, would you do that on a stock?
Right. Right.
Probably
not. We wouldn't, our company would not do it on a company.
You would not. Imagine, yeah, we know the same people that is somewhere to say, all right, I've got $100 million. They're not going to all put it on one group. They're going to say, all right, law of numbers is telling me that not every one of these great ideas will make money. Some of them will run out of money before the idea ran out of the idea.
Right.
And I know many companies like that is they ran out of money.
Yes.
Pure and simple. Yes. They needed a runway that was going to be 7 years longer.
Yeah.
And the investors are saying, we just can't do it.
Right. Right. What
crypto represents is this revolution. And that is that if you want to be a part of something that is ready for you and that is waiting for you to get into it, to understand it, to then maybe give you your own aha moment, to become your own. Like Elon Musk said recently, I read this online, so can't always trust Twitter, but he was asked for a comment about, I think it was Tesla's buying $1.5 billion. And the comment on this site I saw said that his response was basically, give my best to your puppet master. And I look at that to say kind of this concept around that, who tells you what to do? Who do you work for? That this space allows you at some point, if you really want to, that you could become free.
Right.
You do the things that you want to do in life that could pay your bills, that are legal, that are moral, that are ethical. And well, ethics and morals kind of hang on the wind. That wherever you are in the world, that I know people that are making $50 an hour now, $75 an hour doing illustration for these companies.
Right.
And if you're a comic book artist, you can now sell your comic books on blockchain and it's bought like it's a piece of art.
Right.
I know illustrators that have sold pieces for $400,000.
Crazy. On a blockchain.
On a blockchain. So if you're a tinkerer, you're an idea.
Is that called non-fungible?
Non-fungible tokens.
Yeah.
I know people that have ideas and say, I've got a widget or I got an app, but it's not fast enough. I go, tie it to a blockchain. You want to build a media platform, tie it to a blockchain.
Wow.
What is your problem? Cloud, I think it's called Cloudcoin. Is that right? Yeah. Tie it to cloud. That what is your problem? Go tie it to one of these chains out there. It can literally save you potentially millions of dollars of your investors' money, hundreds of thousands of your own. and give you a runway. They go, the blockchain's there, and you could even apply for a grant to use.
Jeez.
Zilliqa, Z-I-L-L-I-Q-A. Zilliqa has a grant where they give people, look, give us your ideas. How can you build it on our chain? And we will give you money to help you go, and you'll own your business.
Jeez, that's great.
You want to talk about spurring entrepreneurship?
Yeah.
I know hundreds of these entrepreneurs who go, I'll help you.
Yeah.
We'll give you developers to work with. We'll give you the right teams to be behind you. There's even companies called Ideology. Ideology, it's going to be an ecosystem to allow you to connect with other people where maybe your skill set is you're not good on development. They'll connect you with a developer. Maybe it's somebody to be your operations, that they'll connect the dots for you.
Yeah, within our own company, we have what's called shared services, to where we can provide any company that becomes part of one of our portfolio companies. Somebody may just have an amazing ability to market, but they may be a little shy in the CFO department. Well, no worries. You don't have to be expert there. Go run your company. Go be you. We'll take care of the CFO side of the business. And that's what I'm hearing you're saying, that if somebody has a skill set, don't let the fact that you aren't perfect keep you out of the game, because the enemy of progress is perfection.
Absolutely.
And so I love your ideas.
And how many people right now have a viable idea, not just an idea that's a good idea, but one that can make money? So you have this idea that can make money. You go, I know it'll make money, but I don't have any money to start the business. I go, okay, well, think about your cookbook. What is the company? What would you do? You can join that ecosystem called Ideology, and you can put it out there for people. Wow. And they have a crowdfunding division as well, that if others think it's a really good idea, they'll even give you money to help you get your idea going.
See, if that doesn't give people watching, a dopamine hit, I don't know.
How cool is that?
Yeah. I mean,
think about that. Yeah. And we're not talking people that take a month to decide, or 3 months, or some arrogant human being. I go, these are people are going, we want to help.
Right, right.
We're excited to see really good projects come to life, to take it off that shelf where it's been collecting dust.
Yeah, yeah.
That if you're saying, well, the problem of my small business right now is I have to pay, name the credit card processing company, 5%.
Right.
And if I were to switch over to payment systems that accepted cryptocurrency, I could take my 5% fee down to like 0.01 or 1%. Right. Right. That these companies are out there, they're waiting to help you.
Right.
They'll waive setup fees. They'll hold your hand. They'll help you build a viable business, or help you secure the business that you and your families for generations have been trying to keep alive, from tracking of goods. That many times you have people that are in farming or agricultural, where the tracking part of it, from the logistics end to what arrived and its story and how it got there, it gets lost in translation. VeChain, this is how cool this company is. The VeChain was started by a guy by the name of Sunny Liu. He came from Louis Vuitton. So Sunny Liu, he saw this problem that they faced at Louis Vuitton. And this is my words, not his. This whole idea around forgeries, that how do you know? Well, ingrained in these now, you can scan it with these special scanners. It'll tell you where it was on the chain. It'll tell you if it's the first one. It'll tell you if it's real, it's not real. And if you go to a grocery store, certain parts of China are already doing this, that you can scan that piece of beef. So assuming you like, I don't know, sirloin. Look at your sirloin.
Yeah.
You can scan it with your phone. It will tell you where that cow was born, when it died, its entire story, where it traveled, with the packaging, everything, to make you go, I feel more comfortable now. It's more intimate. I know that it hasn't been, I don't know, that it made it on its journey safely and soundly. That there are companies like them, they're going, we're waiting to talk to you.
See, this is why conversations like this are so important for new people. Is you have just, I'm a visual learner, right? And you just described that with the cow and being able to associate it with a blockchain. That was, the blockchain thing was so elusive to me, but now that it's almost like it allows you to be able to track anything in its development and its life in its own ecosystem to where you are right now. So
right now
with a Bitcoin, it's like, when it was first mined, and where it was sold by the miner. Mm-hmm. And then the whoever bought it from the miner sold. The whole story's there.
Whole story.
And the block, so the blockchain is just a giant ledger of stories. Is that a fair?
You know, that's a great way of putting it. I want you to think about it is that it's a trustless system that you don't have to, when I say by trust, if you go back to the old way, that I'd have to send you money with the hope if you would send me something back.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have smart contracts that run in the middle that says, okay, if A does this, then B will do this, and we will make sure A gets that and B gets this. So I can send you crypto as long as you do something else. So the smart contract itself tells it what to do. So that if your fear is, well, if I want to send you $1 million and you're going to send me back something, that it could be designed that way. You also have fail safe. So people think, well, what about if I make a mistake? Well, depending upon the exchange you use or depending upon that certain coins or tokens allow you to undo your mistake.
Hmm.
Multi-sig transactions for some of these ledgers, meaning if you do your own research and you know what the problem is for your business right now, what is your biggest problem you face? I promise you, independent of human capital, and we can argue that there are solutions for the human capital aspect of creating better talent or...
Yep.
But whatever your problem,
you're working on that.
You got it. Whatever your problem is, that you can find a company providing a solution for that and doing it for literally a percentage of what it would cost you to keep dealing with your problem.
Gosh, that's fascinating.
How cool is that?
It's very cool. This is all cool. You're cool.
Somebody that, well, look, I talk, I interview people. When I interview them, I let them talk. So thank you for letting me get it all out, man.
Well, this has been great. And again, we are teeny tiny over here in Uncle Vigilanteville. So thank you for coming on. And I cannot wait to continue to work with you on our other initiative. Very exciting. I'm telling you, everyone, this guy has a tiger by the tail right here.
Very cool.
Yeah. So thank you. And do you want to let everyone know where they can find you again?
Got it. Okay. So for those of you, you can find us on lifestuff.com, LIF as in Franklin, ES as in Sam, Tuff, TUGH. If you like inspirational podcasts, we have those on the network. If you like to learn about cryptocurrency, turn into the Uncle V Show. Or you can go to a podcast.bitcoin.com. So I host their show. You can follow us. If you want to learn more about some tokens or coins, go on YouTube, go on Ternio. So TERNIO, Ternio Black Card is the company. They have a playlist there where it'll talk to you about what is Ethereum, what is XRP, what is XLM. There's about 160 videos, I think, up on that series.
Wow.
There's a lot of education that we're helping to create along with our partners or clients out there. And really just trying to change the conversation. So the best advice I can give you is that if you have bought cryptocurrency, let your runners run and let your stinkers go. Do not hold on to something. If you see the rest of the market right now is doing really well, and that thing that you've been holding on to has just keeps dropping and dropping and dropping, then talk to your advisor, your financial advisor. If it was me, I'd get rid of it if it was me. Mm-hmm. And I'm a Bitcoin guy. Again, my response is because Bitcoin controls the market.
Right.
Do alternate coins long-term, can they give you a bigger return? Sure. Me, I like peace of mind. I feel safer in Bitcoin.
I love it. I love
it.
That's
just me.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. You are awesome. And I think everybody is really going to enjoy this. So you rock. Thank you.
Go on. See ya.
All right. Cheers. Bye.